Welcome back to the Blindsiders. I am Ben, and I'm joined here by Brian to talk about episode number 6 of Survivor 46. And this is the Murgatory episode that we've gotten every season so far in the new era. And similar to the past experiences, and as we talked about last week, we had kind of a non-threatening woman on the outs get voted out by the end of the episode, as is tradition, seems like. We talked historically last week that strong men were the merge boots, but new era, it's not been the case.
No, Jeff really, he did the work. He figured out the one possible scenario that a strong man will not get targeted at the merge. Yeah. And it's this really convoluted. I hadn't thought about until I saw it on Twitter. The first two seasons they did this, obviously the hourglass was part of it, so like that probably was like, oh well, that's not as fair. They did an immunity challenge. Would you be open to an immunity challenge for the losers here, Ben?
I mean, from a TV perspective or from a game mechanics perspective? Because from a TV perspective,
maybe it would drag, but yeah, for like this twist is horrible. I think we both agree. But can it be at least a little better with an immunity challenge?
I don't think it really matters. It wouldn't really change the fundamental flaw, which is like when there's such a limited pool of people, and like you kind of have to play around that, like you're just kind of have to coalesce on a collective target that everyone's okay with, especially also with it being a 13 person merge, like both of those being the case. I think, even before the Murgatory, came about with these like really large merges, we've seen this happen for, probably going on like 5 to 10 years now. You think of like the Haley Ford and Game Changers kind of boots.
Yeah, Cass.
Yeah.
Was the first one for this 13 merge. That season I thought the only were doing 13 to save Savage, but they've just stuck with it ever since, which, is what it is, I guess. I mean, I think it's especially egregious considering that we immediately split the tribes again, or split the tribe into teams again. Just do a tribe swap. Just do a tribe swap at 14. Two rounds of that. Be fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it... I saw somebody make the comment like, it's become abundantly clear that Jeff has somehow decided that 6 people being vulnerable at tribal council is like the ideal number for good TV. Yeah. And he's based all of the new era twists around that premise, which is, in my opinion, a bad premise, if that's the case.
I mean, it really, really stifles gameplay. Like we saw it tonight where Venus is like, well, I don't like where this is going. And there's just like nothing she could do, really.
Yeah.
Because like everyone else would just be like, well, it's not me, so fine, we'll just like vote, for Mariah and whatever. So I don't know. There's a lot to get to. Where do we want to start?
I guess we can start. Do you want to start with the Hunter Idol stuff, or do you want to start?
Let's do that. So we finally get the answer to what happens if your tribe doesn't lose immunity. Nothing. You just get the clue, as if your tribe had lost immunity. So it's a big, lingering question for us, and kind of a boring answer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really, I said this, I think last week or the week before, I don't really, think this is also great. Because all they're doing is just giving Nami, who are like the clear dominant tribe, an idol, and they don't have to even accomplish the thing, like the prerequisite in order to get it. Like it completely you know, destroys the entire idea of having losing an immunity being a prerequisite. Like, it doesn't matter at that point. Like, yeah. It's just an added extra step for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. It really, really is. Like, we thought, oh, maybe they're like doing this because you're just like, well, maybe someone will throw a challenge to get the add. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
The highlight of this, though, was as people are coming to the beach. Soda and Venus are arguing. Very fun. Venus, you know, really becoming a beloved character because she just, you know, I think people feel like she's unfairly targeted in some ways here. Is that right or wrong? Who's to say? But I do enjoy that. I do enjoy that she is engaging in an argument mere moments before the other tribes come, and like that you would think would be like the moment where you're like, I want to be at least somewhat on a good footing with my original tribe.
Well, here's my question. I think this is like my kind of idea that I thought of after this episode, where we see like Seagull ultimately taking a loss here in the numbers, partially because they presented this like, you know, unwavering front. And this is kind of similar to like what like Bello also kind of went through last season. It's like kind of a very similar parallel. And in both cases, it wasn't the case. And if they were actually more forthcoming about it, they might have been able to like manipulate it to their advantage. I'm actually curious if on future seasons, when tribes come into this Murgatory vote, if it's like correct to try to throw heat onto the member of your tribe that has like the best social game, right? Because as we saw at this feast, we had like everyone jump on Mariah because it seemed like a lot of people didn't really like click with her right away. Mm-hmm. Whereas if they had thrown like Charlie's name out there, I think a lot of people have been like, nah, there's not really a reason for us to, I like Charlie, you know, like, you know, where I feel good with Charlie. I would rather get rid of Venus if those are the two options, you know, like basically right. Like throw out like an intentionally bad option from mm-hmm. your tribe to the other people as like a sacrificial goat. So they'll reject it and be like, no, we'll go with somebody else's sacrificial goat instead.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, this, they're not going to be leaving people out of votes going forward. Because, I mean, obviously, hindsight's 2020. This was bad for Mariah. And it is Mariah, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Say Mo as well, if you want to, like, not get confused. Yeah.
This is bad for Mo. She felt like she had to just go along with it. In the future, someone's in Mo's place. They're not going to go along with this. They're 100% just being like, I got left out. I'm on the bottom here, open to any new opportunity that might come around.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like this is almost somewhat unique. I can't really think of another circumstance where somebody who was like very clearly on the outskirts of their tribe came in and intentionally helped play along that they were in like a power position. Like, it's just very counterintuitive. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
No, I just think, you know, she had like the 1-2 punch of like getting blindsided and then having to immediately adapt to a completely new situation that she wasn't quite prepared for.
Yeah, I mean, like, ultimately, I think all of Seagull played really poorly in this episode. Well, I think Maria did okay with what she had. Tim especially played really bad. But and Charlie as well, I think, made some blunders. So like, I don't think it's all on Mariah. I think like this entire like orchestration was really poorly thought out, and just like counterproductive to the goals of like a merge like this. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's hard for me to really like wrap my head around the gameplay, so I don't really see the logic at all.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think you know, it's just so unfortunate that the teams broke this way. Like before, it was like, oh, well, probably whoever teams Hunter on, probably they'll win. And I was like, oh man, imagine if Q and Hunter got on the same team. That'd be crazy. And I was like, oh, all the guys except for Charlie on the same team? Cool. Well, but I will give them credit. They fought hard. And they, I don't know how close it was in real life, but it was at least close enough to where they could sell that it was like down to the wire.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like, you can't fake the progress in the puzzle. Like, they were at least, like, you know, around halfway done the third section, right? Mm-hmm. So, probably, like, I don't know, a couple minutes
way closer than I thought it was going to be, like, when those two teams separated.
Well, I thought that the Orange Tribe or Orange Group was going to win because of the way they, like, from the top, because of the way they were editing it. So, over the top, mm-hmm. they were like, this team has no chance. Look at the difference. Like, obviously, right. this one's going to win. And I'm like, okay, well, this to me feels like they're setting up like a David versus Goliath kind of underdog thing. And I also like didn't really buy the reasoning for that tribe being super dominant anyways, because the challenge was like, it was like 30% physical, and like the puzzle was by far the most important part.
Getting up that ball and getting like up onto the net. Mm-hmm. That's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
like, I think the height thing, maybe, which they made the joke on, I think makes sense. Yeah.
It's just that's tough. Like, unless you have bigger guys who can like get up there and then just like lift people up or like push people up to it. But I mean, the orange team did great. Like, I want to be very clear. Like, I was so impressed with them. And I love, and I hope they keep this for like merge challenges, make section puzzles that everyone has to do. That's great.
Yeah, I agree. That definitely, they should do this in the pre-merge.
Yeah, so, this is so great. Yeah. I love this. Why did it take so long for this to happen?
Yeah, the whole issue with like, maybe they've learned now, maybe we're in like the reindeer games segment of Big Brother, or you know, where they've like kind of learned the faults for the last several years.
Yeah,
like one of the main issues is like when one tribe has somebody who is really, really good at puzzles, and half of the tribal challenges and team challenges just end with a puzzle, that team is just not going to lose. Right. So yeah, making everybody could participate like piecewise in the puzzle is kind of a good way to, yeah, to combat that.
Make, you know, everyone have to sink a shot when it ends in shot. Everyone has to get a sandbag on a barrel. Like, make it a team thing.
Yeah, we saw that in the slingshot, or the, what is that called? The
yeah.
One they did last week. Yeah. Yeah. Where that was the one that Yanu ends up winning. Because it ends up being more balanced when everybody has to contribute the same amount, and you can't just rely on like a hunter to carry you through that like last leg of the challenge.
Yeah, so I'm hopeful at least that will be the case, and then probably won't have these blowouts that we've been seeing, you know, with one tribe just eating it, you know, in the pre-merge. It will help. Yeah, it gives more of a chance, more of a variance of potential outcomes anyways.
Yeah, there's obviously still other issues with like the flint and, you know, and like the general kind of.
I think it's easier to convince Jeff to do this than to stop the flint bullshit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so it was close. And like, I was like, I was waiting for the underdog story. But it is like also kind of hard from the editing perspective, because they had already spent the first half of the episode setting up like Venus and Mo as like the two options, and they're both in the same one, and I was like, okay, that would be kind of a waste of like all of this, you know, storytelling for Venus and Mo to then be immune.
Yeah, I mean, especially bad for Mo, insane visibility spike this episode, like to the point where it's like, damn, you're really not even pretending. Like, like either Mo was about to become a huge part of the story going forward. That usually doesn't happen. or she's getting booted. So I think she had 9 confessionals. She had like 9 the whole season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, she made it further than her her fave Aubrey did in her most recent season, to be fair.
That's true. That's a good point. Ben, who are we saying are our favorite players? Like to like a player that's like that's good but not threatening. Like I have like 2 minds of this. You can go like kind of deep cut-ish. You know, say someone like who's non-threatening, Keith Nail, Big Tom, mm-hmm. someone like that who's like a character more than a player, coach, Philip. You know, someone like that where it's like, okay, you enjoy that aspect of the show. Or just like have a really basic bitch answer and just be like, Boston Rob, obviously, that's my favorite player. You know, what are your thoughts there?
I mean, you know, I'd say Courtney. I don't know if
Courtney that's, Yates. You know, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm getting the feeling a lot of these people are super fans in the sense that they're like binge and newer super fans. Cause I don't, I'm not 100% confident they will know Courtney Yates.
Well, that's the thing too. Cause like, you know, how is like one of the things they brought up besides, you know, she's like Aubrey because she said she likes Aubrey and she's has glasses and like frizzy hair is like, they were like, oh, she's a super fan. It's like, I mean, maybe, but it didn't really help her in the one time that she had to play the game so far where she was like completely blindsided by really mediocre players. So like, I don't know. Being a fan of the Survivor is like, you know, as Brandon Donald will say, you know, it's not really like a guarantee that you're going to be good at it. Like,
right. Also, like, and you know me, I love Aubrey, one of my favorite players ever. Is Aubrey like a threatening player? She had a good run once. And she lost that season. Game Changers, she was there. Wasn't included in a lot, but she made it pretty far. And then just a straight up bad showing on Edge of Extinction. So like, if I'm on an all-star season of Survivor with Aubrey, I'm not terribly threatened by her. You know, I'm wary. I know she can play the game, but I'm not like, oh my God, I need to get Aubrey out immediately.
Yeah.
Provided, like, I'm an all-star in this scenario. Edge of Extinction, totally right to get rid of Aubrey and, like, all the returning players as soon as possible.
Yeah, no, I it definitely felt like an excuse to me from Q that was just, like, jumped on. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. I mean, I don't know if, like, maybe that's just, like, one of the 3 seasons Q has seen. And so, like, he just seen Ko Rong. Like, that was what he saw in Sequester. Before the game, and he was like, man, you know, Aubrey is like a god of Survivor. And it's like, yeah, I mean,
she still loses, so I don't know. Like,
yeah, she's a 3-time loser. I don't really know. Yeah. Like, you know,
I obviously don't want to bring up any of that old shit show of a debate, yeah. But like, at the end of the day, she didn't win Ko Rong, and that was her best season. So,
yeah, she's not even like the most dangerous. Like person you could bring up in that archetype, like,
right.
Like yeah. If somebody said like Sophie Clark, then I'm like, okay, well maybe we can have a conversation. You know what I mean? Like Sophie Clark won. Yeah. She was like one of the better players on Winners Out.
Yeah, positioned herself to potentially win if Tony didn't take her out in that one round. Like,
yeah.
You know. So, and she had an idol that's like Sophie. Tony was so right to take Sophie out there.
Yeah, I mean, we established that's like the game-winning move, right, for Tony in that season. Like, you know. So yeah, I don't know. It was odd to me. The whole like way it was presented was very odd and didn't really make a lot of sense. A lot of things this episode, I was just like, that makes no sense. But I'm just gonna have to go with it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange. So, you know, I think, I don't like. The Mergatory. I don't like that only half of them get to eat. I think that's stupid. Like, it should be a celebration to make the merge. But, yeah, I think Mo really didn't give herself a good... I don't know. She shouldn't have tried to pretend to be with Sega. It's hard because I don't want to be like, oh, well, it didn't work, so obviously she shouldn't have done it. But it's like, I don't know. You don't owe these people anything. They didn't include you. Fuck them. You know?
Yeah. I mean, at least, like, you know, I think Venus also made a lot of mistakes too, but at least Venus is, like, kind of standing on business a little bit, even if she has no business to stand on.
Right. Yeah. She's openly, I hate these people so much. They're the worst. I will vote all of them off. And you know what, Ben? I guarantee Venus isn't going to be the next person voted off. Venus might get very far in this game.
Yeah. I think, like, the worst case scenario for Venus at this point is like I've seen a lot of like Tori Meehan comparisons, you know. I think that's like kind of an okay comparison. And you know, we all thought that Tori would be like a zero vote finalist, right. Which is kind of the trajectory that we're looking at right now at Venus. But she kind of got sniped out from that split tribal, so
yeah, very some pretty spot. Like very specific circumstances surrounded Tori's boot also. Yeah. So like, I think had it not broken the same way, had her team gone to tribal first, you know, she may have very well been the zero vote goat.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. That was like a very extremely, extremely corner case scenario. Like maybe something like that could happen. Not like exactly like that, but
right, but maybe
in the same vein where Venus just kind of breaks in bad numbers in a split tribal.
To
stand on. So
yeah, bad numbers, two idols played at, like, it's just such a specific circumstance in that. So I guess we'll see what happens next week, but I am planting the flag that she'll be around for a while anyways. Because why would you vote off Venus? Like, her own tribe doesn't get along with her. She doesn't get along with them. Like, seems like such a wasted vote.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, like, it seems like most of them do openly hate her, but they also fought for her to stay over Mariah. So, like, There's enough there, right? So she has like just enough social capital to not get voted out, but not enough to accomplish anything of value.
Yeah. Oh man, it'll be interesting to see for sure. But I do enjoy that people are like standing her so hard, and people comparing her to America from Big Brother this last season. They're both pretty wild on Twitter, I'll say that.
Yeah,
in different ways, but
I don't know if I really see that comparison. Like I'd say I think America had probably more win equity, even though America also had not a lot of win equity on
right.
America had made moves and had like some amount of control at certain points. So I don't know about that.
We'll see what happens, but I think, I guess, how to put this, so at the feast Nami was like, okay, we'll vote Venus out, and Yanu was like, okay, sounds good, and then Sega was like super hesitant. I don't know, that's such like a weird position to be in and to like judge people off of. Am I wrong with like thinking that? Like, it's like, oh, you didn't immediately throw someone under the bus. I don't know. Like, what's the right thing to do there?
I mean, I think it's like what I said, where you have to, like, maybe Maria is the right name to push, but it would have to be like, it wouldn't really make sense based off of what Tim set up for him to push it. So I think Ben had to probably push that name, but Ben was like not saying anything and was just like leaving it all to Tim. Yeah. So I don't know. I think that's like the only real out in that situation is somebody like Ben pushing Maria. And then you have this like Journey 6 thing that like people are still pretending is real.
Right.
When it's like very clearly just kind of coalesced into a Nami Yanu alliance. Yeah. And then they would be like, well, no, because people like Hugh and Kevin and Hunter would be like, well, actually, you know, we want Maria and potentially, like, we want to keep that door open. So if Ben thinks that the crack is Maria, then that's bad for us. And so we'll probably just have to go with Venus at that point. I think, like, throwing out somebody like Mo is, like, that's a very easy vote for everybody to get on board with.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, it is, like, kind of a Goldilocks zone almost, where, like, Venus,
Say, when you turn around and be like, so, but the three of you, which one of the three would you guys cut loose first?
Mm-hmm.
Not so fun to be asked that in front of everyone, no. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But well, they were really hamstrung by Nami immediately being like, yeah, Venus, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Venus also made it very clear to everybody immediately that she was on the bottom.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess that kind of works out, right? Like, if you're Venus, because you get the best of both worlds, or like you at least get not necessarily the best of both worlds, but you get the positives from it, and not just the negatives. Because Mo basically got all of the negatives from being on the bottom of her tribe, and none of the positives. Whereas Venus at least got both, and that's probably part of why she survived.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I think, like, Q even, like, said it, like, at Tribal Council, when she was like, I'm on the bottom, like, a kind of Hail Mary. And mm-hmm. he's like, I mean, would have been great to know that, like, before we're about to vote.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're, like, starting up a live tribal, like, that's just a too late, you know, too little too late kind of scenario.
Yeah, but even, like, in that scenario, it's like, okay, I mean, that's nice, but, like,
yeah.
You could be lying right now, so, like, I'm not, you know. And yeah. Thea had already decided, and it seemed like Thea had already decided it just wasn't going to happen for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seemed like even Sega at that point was like, yeah, we know.
Yeah.
And, like, Charlie, I think, threw the one hinky vote, probably for the shot in the dark. Which was the one good thing. The one good thing Mariah did this episode is she played her shot in the dark, thank God.
Yeah, right. And yeah, and right for Charlie to do that also,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, because he, I mean, it probably would have been, it could have been Charlie on the revote. Like, it could have. So just, you know, your vote doesn't really matter at that point. Just throw it on someone, live to see another day. Don't be Jay Maya.
Yep.
Yeah. The Shaun of the Dark is just so anticlimactic because, like, yeah, it hit for Caleb, but, like, you just kind of sit there and you're like, okay, yep, not safe. Let's get this over with.
Yeah, and again, even when, like, you know, the Caleb moment was good, but
you got next
anyway. Yeah. So
probably secured him an all-star spot though, so that's the real long game.
Yeah. I guess anything else? Because I feel like the episode was like,
I know, right?
A lot felt like it happened, but a lot of it felt pointless.
Well, because it's just, like, so bogged down by, like,
yeah.
Here's, like, a really long challenge, you know? Here's, like, the beginning of the episode, it was just people just getting to know each other, like, setting the stage for what happened later, and it wasn't complicated.
Yeah, and we got to see everybody be like, you know, this is the downside to people doing, like, a merge celebration on their own beaches as opposed to bringing them to a challenge location and pretending like they're going to have a challenge and then be like, oh, actually, it's the merge. Where now we have to watch all three tribes individually get told, oh, it's the merge, drop your buffs, get in this boat. It's like three scenes that should be one scene.
Yeah, never been a big fan of that. Even, like, back in the day when they would do it. Like, Heroes versus Villains did it this way, too.
Mm-hmm.
Drop your buffs, way more fun.
Yeah. No, it's good to, like, this is, you know, we rip on Jeff a lot. This is, like, the one situation where, like, Jeff's presence actually improves the scene.
Yeah.
And his absence, I think, makes it worse.
Yeah, like, I like it. You know, you get the feast, and I don't know. I guess I'm just a big fan of, like, the pageantry of the moment that is last year, where everyone gets to feel good, put their daggers away for a moment, share this meal, and then the game's back on, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they still, there still is like some pageantry, but it's like a bunch of small fireworks instead of one big firework display.
Exactly. Yeah. What's the, you know, it's a good metaphor. It's like, well, Jeff, it's like you have a really great burger place in town and it gets shut down and a Jack in the Box moves in. Like, fine, I'll eat Jack in the Box, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jack in the Box. I guess I've ruined any chance of having them as a sponsor. Do they even exist anymore?
I have no idea.
Not regional to where we were from. So.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been to a Jack in the Box. Yeah. So I don't know.
Just had to throw someone who like wasn't near me under the bus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess like it's hard to do predictions going into next week because we're assuming it's gonna be a 6-6 split tribal situation. And we're not.
It was in the preview, yeah. It was in the preview that they're doing.
Did they split, or was it just because I remember them just saying two people going home?
Yeah, that's true. So maybe not, but
it could be another stupid twist.
Could be another stupid twist. Yeah, exactly. Don't underestimate the possibility of it being even worse. It can always get worse.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's really hard to speculate, I guess, based off of that, who gets voted out because it's varied so hugely. I think that, like, it's better to look at who is in, like, a really safe position. Mm-hmm. I'd say, like, Hunter is probably in, like, the safest position. I mean, the two people with idols are also both, in my opinion, the best socially positioned. So, like, they're, like, doubly kind of locked in. Like it would be crazy for either Tiffany or Hunter to go out. Other than them, I'd say probably Maria is the best socially positioned from Sega. I don't know if you agree or disagree.
No, yeah, that seems right.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think like we could see a Soda go out. We could see maybe see a Kenzie go out. I don't know. We could see like a Tim or a Ben go out. I think there's a lot. I feel like a lot of people don't really take large shots on these votes. So it's more of the same. Try to not rock the boat and wait until you're actually allowed to play real Survivor.
Right. Yeah. I think like, you know, Sifu wasn't in a power position last season. He just got clipped here. And then Caleb, I really do think that it was just like a, only one person will be upset if Caleb gets voted off, and that'll be Emily. Mm-hmm. And everyone tried to vote him off last round, so like, no one will be mad, really.
Yeah, that's kind of been the pattern. It's like both the Murgatory vote and the Split Tribals vote is like, who can we vote off that will cause the least amount of drama? Which is like the exact opposite of what you want for TV, which is why both of the twists are bad.
Yeah, and like, I don't like it when they were later in the game either, but you know, at least in some instances, it's like you do them three votes after the merge. Maybe the hierarchy is established. Maybe you get lucky and one of the tribes are like majority of minority alliance, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it never worked out like that even once, but like that's the idea I think of this twist.
Yeah, except it's a bad idea because mathematically it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it's just like you're really relying on just like getting so lucky, and it just has never worked.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I can't even think of like a twist that Survivor has done other than just like immunity idols that like benefit people in the minority well.
Hmm.
And like even hidden immunity idols are like, you know, they can benefit the people in the majority if only the people in the majority get them. So
right. So I guess that's it. Have you been watching any other reality shows lately? Anything been good for you?
I mean, you know, I BBQ and 12 had a good episode. The first
a good episode.
Yep. 13 episodes in, we finally got a good one.
Is Anthony still running everything, or?
It's hard to tell without feeds. Right. He didn't get his way for the first time, but it wasn't like in a really egregious way. Yeah. And it was a twist, which is the only time. Like somebody pointed out, like the only time Anthony didn't get his way in BBCan 7 also required like an unprecedented twist. So
might just be a good player. That's the only way that it doesn't work out for him.
Yeah, and like even in both cases, like it was just like, oh, one of his minions just got snaked out in a situation where he would have liked him to stay a little longer.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to like spoil it in case people aren't caught up, but yeah, it was like the executive power of veto was the twist.
Executive power of veto. Yes. How does that work?
Well, the way they did it was like a reverse safety chain, whereas like an elimination chain starting from the HOH. So it was almost like it was almost like a hot potato game in the first round of BBOTT. Mm-hmm. Where the last person standing gets the power. And it's like a diamond power of veto, except that the nominee you pull off is the one who picks the replacement. And they had I don't know how long in real time they had. Like it seemed like maybe like a half hour to an hour between the person who winning it to using it. Yeah, and I mean it's a really bad twist, and the chain situation guarantees somebody in the majority, like somebody in power, is going to win it. But it worked out well from a TV perspective because the person who like got like quote unquote screwed by it, like it was like a huge comeuppance, and they like basically So okay, I'll just spoil it because, you know, if you got this far and you haven't turned it off, that's on you. But last week is a guy, Vivek. He was HOH and he's on the outs of like the power structure. And he basically had one friend, Dennis, who had saved him the week before with the veto when he was like definitely going to go home. Dennis won the veto week two, used it on Vivek, saved him. Vivek won week three HOH. And got like basically mind fucked by Anthony and Victoria into backdooring Dennis for no reason.
My God.
Dennis got evicted last week. And everyone was like, man, this guy is like probably the stupidest Big Brother player in like the history of the show. And he's the one who got screwed by the executive power of veto twists this week.
So no one's too upset. I take it.
Yeah. Everyone was like, yeah, that's appropriate. He even in his pitch was like, I threw my game away for you guys.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, this is the result of you throwing your game away, buddy.
Yeah. And we appreciate it. So much.
Yeah, exactly. I just, anybody who has one ally and they get convinced by the majority alliance to betray that ally for no reason, like, you deserve the worst in Big Brother.
Right. Yeah. So. Oh, that must have been a mind fuck for his ally. I just saved you.
It was sad.
Yeah,
it was very sad to watch.
I'd be so frustrated.
He literally, as he is making the move, is like, you're literally going to be next, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
It was right.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Well, I've been watching Deal or No Deal Island.
Nice.
It's pretty fun. I like it. You know, I've always enjoyed Deal or No Deal. So having a little social strategy mixed in there, especially with Boston Rob, who's, you know, always so good with the confessionals and, you know, just like such a solid like reality contestant. Just all around, you know, from a production point of view, like he gives production exactly what they need and what they want and can make very compelling television. So I think the show is very like boosted by having him there.
Yeah. I've heard mixed reviews. I've heard that like Boston Rob dominates a lot of the airtime.
Listen, if you're not a Boston Rob fan, you will not like it. I am a Boston Rob fan, so, you know, I enjoyed watching him win Redemption Island. I'm sorry. That's like my worst Survivor take. I know I suck, but
well, whatever. That's kind of why I'm watching BBCAN 12, right? Like, I'm an Anthony Douglas fan, and like, I'm enjoying him just like stomping on a bunch of morons. So,
yeah, it's like sometimes, you know, your fave gets something handed to them, and you know, it's fun to watch if you're a fan of them. If you're not, it would be tough.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of people out there who are not Boston Rob fans, and a lot of people out there who are not Anthony Douglas fans, especially now at this point, when he's like completely leaned into like the douchebag, like really pompous, like I'm the best player in Big Brother Canada history, you know.
Yeah. It's like, I'll put it this way, and you know, spoilers for the second episode of Deal or No Deal Island. You know, he was like, oh, I could potentially be on the chopping block here. But I can win this challenge that gets me immunity for the week. And it like came down to the last thing. And of course he did it. He won. He's bossing around. Like, that's what he fucking does. Like, he ruins people's plans, you know, if they're trying to get him out, or he just dominates. Like, he's that dude of reality TV. So I don't know. Got to deal with it, I guess. If you don't like it, watch Marquesas or Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah, I mean, you think he's going to win? I don't know if it's still going.
It's so hard because, like, the format's pretty wonky. And if I was designing it, I would have designed it a lot differently. Basically, like, you have a challenge. The winner of the challenge can you have a challenge, and then the two people who come in last of the challenge are up for the eviction, basically. The person who wins immunity, wins the challenge, picks one of those two to play in a game of No Deal or No Deal. That game adds money to the overall pot at the end, but the way you stay is by making a good deal. So, like, making a deal above the case that you picked. Mm-hmm. So there's a little, like, strategy there where it's like, well, hopefully I get like a $1 case, and then like any deal I make will get me there, but then it would only add like, you know, whatever the deal was to the pot. But if you do win, you get to just straight up pick someone to leave. Oh. So all it takes is one person to get someone out of there, you know, and there's nothing you can do to block it.
Except I assume the person who won the first challenge is still immune.
Yeah, they get immunity. Yeah. So, yeah, they've done like tandem stuff. So like two people will be immune. How I would have personally designed the game, and Deal or No Deal Island, if you're looking to revamp your game, at the very beginning, they all played a challenge to get a case. I would have had those cases be like only up to $100,000 at the most. They did up to $1 million, and like they had all the, you know, cases there. And then when you get that case, that is your case that you're bringing into your elimination Deal or No Deal. And each like week you can win the challenge and win a case, or if you get eliminated, maybe you know, you have a will system to like will the case to somebody, and then have the two people play in a like 3-round Deal or No Deal game against each other. And whoever gets the better deal, the higher amount like offered to them, is the person who stays in the game. So if you have a high case, you're already going to start off with getting a high offer deal. You have a better chance to stay in there. So you have like a little bit more of a social strategy, like, you know, oh, this person has a high case. I don't want to go against them. Maybe I'm friends with them. And then if they get eliminated, maybe they will the case to me. And then at the very end, you're going into that final Deal or No Deal thing. Like, you're the final person playing a regular game of Deal or No Deal, but you're starting off, you already know what your case is and how high it is. So you're either going to leave with whatever your case is, or you're going to have a better chance to get a good deal, depending on how the final game of Deal or No Deal plays out.
How does the Deal or No Deal work when you know what your case is, though? Because isn't the whole purpose of the game, like the OG game, that you're basically like doing process of elimination?
Right. So it would be you're playing against one other person and you're trying to get a better deal from the dealer. And whoever gets the better deal. Okay. So
the case is like not a part of the game, really. It's like a separate case that you're trying to just like beat.
Right. Yeah. And so like if you have a $100,000 case, the dealer is already going to have to like offer you above $100,000, right?
Yeah. 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 So yeah, it's just like it's just hard to you have to get really lucky,
right? Or really unlucky, you know. And maybe you have like two side by side games playing out. So like, I walk in with a $100,000 case, you walk in with a $50,000 case, but I knock out like a bunch of high numbers on my first round. You don't. So then maybe your deal, you know, is better than my deal at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. That's how I would design it if you wanted to like have more of like social strategy elements and have like the cases that you win during it like mean something more, you know?
Well, that's kind of like that makes me think of like the Garnet system or like the Peace system and like the Genius or like Devil's Plan or like, you know, it's like a currency that you like kind of, you know, accrue and then also, you know, use to like improve your chances in certain instances in the game.
Yeah, which I think's very interesting personally.
Yeah.
I can see if the people who are running Deal or No Deal Island are like, no, we love the game Deal or No Deal and we can't change it. You know? Which, okay. Then you'll have a less interesting show, but probably a more straightforward show.
I mean, the like basic format of Deal or No Deal is, you know, is interesting on its face, where it's like you're basically like playing chicken against like a random number generator.
Yeah. And like the thing is here, like you're really not playing Deal or No Deal anyways in the elimination, because all you're looking for is like getting down to a point to where you have more low number cases than the deal you're being offered than high number cases. And then you just take that deal.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, if, I have $1 million case, but it was like, you know, a $1, a $1,000 and a $10,000 in a 1 million, the dealer offers you 250,000. You're like, I'll take that. And you have $1 million case. You didn't do anything wrong. You know, you took the deal that would have, you know, given you the best chance to stay. So it's already not, you know, Deal or No Deal proper.
Yeah, exactly. The whole like tension in the original game is like you have kind of like conflicting motives, whereas in this, like the motive is very clear.
Yeah, and it's like, yes, you'll add more to the pot, but it's like, I don't care if I'm out. Like, what does it matter? I'd rather add a little bit to the pot and be in the game.
I mean, that's kind of like every pot based game like kind of has that. You know, you had like the Traders is different because I was really, I guess like other than like going for shields, there's really no, you know, necessarily downside. But like the Mole is like the other one that comes to mind, where so many people throughout the history of the Mole have sacrificed pot money to get themselves exemptions.
Right. So, I don't know. Kind of an interesting show. I think it could be better. But I'm just happy that we're in like a time where we're getting a lot more cool reality TV shows. I know some people might be like, it sucks. I'd rather have scripted shows. I love scripted shows also, obviously, but I do love reality TV and I love, you know, all kinds of new games being thrown out there.
Yeah. I mean, we're like strat heads, right? You know, we have like the game bots kind of persona, like, you know, even though we also talk about like the, you know, the storytelling of it all. And,
Like the second, the way the Deal or No Deal was laid out, I was like, oh well, this is the optimal thing, you know, like so I don't know, it's just fun.
I guess other than that, you know, I mean, I'm obviously watching Amazing Race too. It's kind of meh.
Yeah,
it's like it definitely you can definitely feel the quality difference, given that it was like filmed during the COVID, you know, the height of COVID still.
Yeah.
And like the route is pretty shitty, and the tasks are kind of mostly like mediocre.
Right.
The cast is okay. It just feels like we're not really getting much out of the cast right now.
Yeah, it's tough because they filmed it so long ago.
Yeah.
If they filmed it before BB24 ended,
and yeah,
BB24 ended was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's
crazy. Yeah. So I definitely think like it'll probably be like a one off, like bad to mediocre season, and like the next season will probably be a lot better.
Yeah.
Because like the last like season or two, like the season like Derek and Claire won were really good.
Yeah.
And even this past season was like pretty solid. There was some good stuff in there. It's just that from my understanding, this route only stays in the Americas. Mm. So like,
oh, that's not
yeah the
point.
Yeah, they've only been to Mexico and Colombia so far. And like, I don't know, not going to like Europe or Asia, even like it's just it kind of feels very samey. And
no, of course,
I mean, that's having
part like, of the draw.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like if the entire route is in like the Americas, having I think like three or four of the contestants who can speak Spanish, like that's like such an enormous advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas like on a normal season of Amazing Race, it wouldn't be like as big of an advantage. Like, you know, if you spoke French and you happened to go to France, that would be like really, you know, important for that leg or two.
France, or, like, and, you know, like Quebec.
Yeah, or like when like, you know, when like people have gone to like, you know, countries in the Middle East and like they've been able to speak Arabic, like there's been like a lot of instances where, you know, that really helps for a leg or two.
Yeah.
But when, you know, you're basically only going to Spanish speaking countries for the entire show and you have like a handful of contestants who can speak Spanish, it's just like, it's such an enormous advantage.
No, for sure. Well, hopefully the next one will be better, like you said. So we'll see. And other than that, I heard they're making a challenge on Netflix from their reality show. I get that Squid Game had hundreds of players, so they probably have a lot of people to pull from, but what other shows do they have? Like Love is Blind?
Not a lot of like competition ones other than like the circle technically.
Yeah, I'm guessing a lot of people from the circle will be on it.
Mm-hmm. And all of the dating shows. Speaking of the circle, the new circle cast dropped, sort of.
Sort of, yeah. You know, some people did. We'll get more, I'm sure. There's an AI chatbot on this season, which I do think is very fun.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how it's gonna go with that.
Mm-hmm. We're doing the circle. Can you pass the Turing test? You know,
right. And for me, mostly, I'll be watching it to be like, is this really AI or is this a producer typing? Because you know, a lot of people thought Amazon had a grocery store that you could just walk in and walk out. Turns out, just a bunch of people in India watching cameras and tracking what people bought. So. How much AI is that? Probably a lot, honestly. So I'm like 50-50 on whether or not it's a chatbot or it's just going to be the producers typing.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's a real chatbot because I think that'll be funny. As long as it's like, you know, historically there's been instances of poorly made chatbots. Getting like really off the grid and like saying some like real wild shit. So hopefully, like, you know,
that's part of the reason why. Also, I think it might not be a real
chatbot. Well, but like I think like a ChatGPT style like foundation for it.
With maybe someone there to guide it back onto rails.
Yeah, I could see it where there's an AI bot, but like. A producer has to hit the confirm button on every message to make sure it doesn't say anything like crazy off the rails, which I think is probably the best way to do it. It'll be interesting.
I'm open to the idea of it.
As far as Twists on the Circle goes, it's like not the stupidest they've done. They've done way worse.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff. You know, we'll see if we come back from that. We'll see if I can remember the password to the influencer chat podcast feed. If it doesn't come back, that's why. Certainly not because I'm burnt out from life. But you know, I'm open to it. Well, it's coming in like 2 weeks, I think. So we'll see if you know, in a good headspace in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been the issue with covering the Circle in the past, is it, you know, unfortunately overlapping with Big Brother and Survivor, and really you know, not like the last time where it was like, you know, oh, this is it's running the same exact week that is both the finale of Big Brother and the premiere of Survivor, and it's like, okay, well, we just can't.
Had such a sweet spot being during the holidays. Yeah. The last season, that was so perfect. So please, Netflix, please do that again.
Yeah.
So we'll I'll be watching it no matter what. And maybe we'll do a one-off if nothing else.
Mm-hmm. We did say we're going to do a one-off for BB Reindeer Games, which ended up being a good season of reality TV.
I know. And we didn't end up doing
it. We didn't do that. So,
but that, for real, the holidays just got in the way for that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I think we did a good job here. Stretch this to nearly an hour.
Yeah, about a half hour of talking about Survivor and a half hour of talking about every other reality show that's on TV.
Yeah, we're here for the real reality heads, you know, we're like the freaks who are watching, who are planning to watch Netflix's version of The Challenge.
Yeah. All right. Challenge All Stars is coming soon on MTV.
On MTV, yeah. It doesn't do much for me. I'm not a challenge guy.
I'm not a challenge guy either. I just saw when I was watching Amazing Race, I saw the
promo. Yeah.
Promo, yeah.
I watched the Challenge USA because it has Big Brother and Survivor players on it. And I'm getting to know the Challenge players through that and the traders. So there's that.
Yep. I like CT.
Yeah. Right, yeah, CG was great on the traders. Yeah, that's really my whole feelings on the challenge.
Yeah, CT seemed okay.
Right,
that's my contribution to the challenge, you know, discussion. I watched like 3 episodes of the Challenge USA. I just couldn't get into it. So. Yeah.
I really did get into the last season. I thought it was really fun. So I'm sure there's a lot there for big challenge fans. It's just a little intimidating because there's so much history and each season builds off each other in ways that like some of the other shows don't, because there's way more new faces usually than, you know, the challenge has like a lot of returning players and there's just so much like history there. It gets like, and it's, I swear the challenge on MTV airs for a year straight. Like, yeah. Each season is on forever.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thought of like, getting into the challenge in that way is like, the closest I'll come to understanding, like, a non-Survivor viewer being told, oh, yeah, we're on season 46 of Survivor if you want to catch up, you know?
Right, but even then, you can just be like, these are all new people, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll see. Ben, where can they find you online?
And you can technically find me again on Twitter at Ben Sharon. I did tweet. I tweeted about Vivek. It's probably a little too mean, but you know, I was like, you know, it is what it is. It's kind of my brand. So,
right.
If you like me, like kind of riding the line of like being like saying things that are too mean, I try not to like cross the line, but you know, sometimes I toe it.
Right. So go check Ben out there. You can follow me on Twitter at TheFakeBMarr, BMARR. Not super active on it. I'll scroll it, but I don't tweet very much. Other than that, main channel, We Could Get Everything. This channel is Better Radio. The show is The Blindsiders. Follow the main channel. I was streaming Helldivers, and then they pushed an update that made the game use like 100% of my CPU. So you can't really stream when a game's taking up the entirety of your CPU. So that has been put on hiatus until the game pushes a new patch that doesn't do that, hopefully. Or maybe it just won't happen. Maybe I'll just never stream it again because I can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it sucks. But it is what it is.
It definitely like felt like getting kneecapped a little bit. It's like, oh, all right, I guess that wasn't meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very fun game, though. Well, it is what it is. Yeah, other than that, Wiki Good Sports. I haven't filmed anything for that in a little while. You know, it goes through cycles. Also, you know, just being busy with life, it's hard to do all the channels. So support us, so maybe we can do this full time and we don't have to worry about outside forces as much.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you probably come back for like the NBA and NHL like playoffs. You know?
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.